Greetings in Jesus' name. Good morning, everyone. It is a real blessing to be here this morning. One of the brothers just asked me in the restroom if I'm nervous, and I said, yes, I am. And I'm very thankful for that. Had to think of what a bishop told me when I was ordained. He said there was a time when he wished that it would be easier, or he wouldn't be so nervous when he gets up to preach. But he said it never did go away, and he's thankful that it didn't. We need to rely on God. But it is very special that we are here this morning. My mind just went back so many, the last couple days, or since Friday night, yesterday, and this morning on the way up, thinking about the years that have gone by and the precious times that we've had together. Now we are here today. The times we had by Dan Schmucker's house in the shed there, and I remember the times we had by Willis Brandenburger's, and next door here by Henry Zares, and different times when we were here, special times, where people, a group of people, have found the Lord, became born again, and now we are here today. I was sitting here thinking about that. I remembered one night at Dan Schmucker's, after the service, I can't remember who came, and we were there with a van, and someone came and asked us if we could take, if I'm not mistaken, it was an old order minister, if we could take them home this evening before we go home. And I said, yes, we can. I don't see Brother Joe here, but I know he's here somewhere. We took Brother Joe home that evening. Joe, where are you? There you are, sorry. We took Joe and his wife home that evening. You remember that, Joe? And here we are today. Time goes on. Years go by. Thank you. Isn't it beautiful? Had we not found the Lord, we would still be in our sins. So this morning, my heart overflows with gratitude for what God has done. We are not without trials. We dare not be. If we are without chastisements, we don't have a father. But we can be victorious. We can be victorious. God's people are a people of victory. We boldly come to the throne of grace, where we find help in time of need. And I, when I think about those times and the years that have gone by, I don't know what I was thinking. When, what years were those? It had to be maybe around 6. I'm not sure, somewhere in there. And Jonas, I don't know, but I've always had felt a kindred spirit when I met Brother Jonas every time. It was a kindred spirit. It was a concern for the future. You know, back then, if someone said that I'm a prophet, I resisted it. There are gifts that we have, and I don't study the gifts much. I have just to understand who I am and who you are, who the brothers are, and in the ministry. And it's a beautiful thing. The gifts are a beautiful thing. And we dare not try to make our brother who I am. To exercise the gifts that God has given us, and it's intended by God that they are all in the church. We've gone through some turbulent times since those years, but God has brought us through. So to have mercy, the mercy people in a ministry or the church, those people are hurt easier than the prophets. And they need to work on gifts that maybe I have by God, and I need to work on mercy. It's not that we can't have mercy gifts or prophecy gifts, but when you're a prophet, you need to work on your mercy side. That's where I am. It can come to where our strength can become our weakness. But my message wasn't about gifts at all, but it's a beautiful thing when the gifts can be exercised in a ministry especially, and we work together and appreciate each other. And once we understand who we are and accept how God has made us, and we strive to see our brothers' gifts and appreciate them, it's a beautiful thing. I would like to start this morning with a scripture from Isaiah 41 for you, Jonas, and your family. 41:10, Isaiah 41:10, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." May that be your portion, I believe it is. And I wasn't going to say this, but I guess I will share a little bit. The tremendous blessing of being ordained in a congregation like this. Where when I was ordained, we had become born again, and I was ordained in Old Aramish Church. It was so different. I knew the road ahead. I knew that what we would face. I just knew that, and it was really hard. It was really hard. Really didn't expect. I felt it very strongly, but I really didn't expect to be ordained in the Old Aramish Church, and I had no idea at all. No intentions of leaving the Old Aramish Church, and I was ordained. Considered a blessing to be ordained where you have the support. Would one of you brothers, Steve, would you come pray for me? Yeah.
Yes, dear Lord, we bow here, Father. We break our hearts before you. Mm-hmm. Lord, we want to tremble at your word today, Lord. Help us be broken, Lord. Help us hear, Father. Pray that you'd speak through Freeman here, Lord. Lord, you'd pour out a blessing to us. Father, you'd give us hearts that would be willing to, Father, live out the gospel. Lord, we need this, Lord. We just humble ourselves here, Lord, as a church before you, Lord. We bow low, Lord. We're needy, Father. We don't know, Lord, how to do everything, Lord. But we know that you do. We know that your word will teach us. So, Father, help us not fear, Lord, nor be dismayed, Father. But you are the righteous right hand that we can lean on and trust and find comfort in, Lord. And so, Lord, we just bless you for this day. And just bless Brother Freeman. Give him a clear mind, Lord. Father, give him the words, Lord, that you have laid on his heart, Father, the message that you have put there, Father. Just let it pour out like living water, Father. And let it pour like spring rains on us, Father, so we can just hear and do. Lord, we need this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, brother. So I just had a heart, Jonas, to share some things with you this morning. Even though the message is, we'll get to that. But God has called you to a deeper, I just want to share in my words, if I can get it out, what God does to a person that's ordained. Does it not a whole lot changes, but there is still, you are called to a deeper study of God's Word. And I've always had this burden, because I've seen it in the past, where if we take things out of context, then we need to say so. Sometimes we do that to bring out a point. But I've seen things where the Word of God is not kept in context, and I believe it's important. We need a strong burden for the truth. Because this is why people get off. This is why we get off track. We need to know the Word of God and the context it's given in, and this is the pattern. This is the pattern. And my mind goes to years ago, one of Mabel's uncles, he was a builder, and sometimes he would be building houses, and I also did wiring at that time, and he asked me to wire this house for him. And I was on a stepladder putting the light boxes on the ceiling, and I just happened to look across the bottom of these trusses that they had made. And they varied like an inch and a half as it went across. And what happened was, I had told him, you don't make trusses like this. But that was his way of making trusses. When you make a truss, and years ago we made all our own trusses, you make a pattern, and when you have the pattern, then you make another one and you flip it off the pattern, you make another one, they're all exactly the same. But that's too much work for some people. So you just make a stack. You just keep coming up and up. That actually works if you keep them all in their spot. But when you get them mixed up, it doesn't work. And for this job, they got them mixed up. They had to move some, they moved some, so they got mixed up. So the trusses were supposed to be all the same, but they weren't. That's what happens when you build on, and maybe 100 years go by, and you built on the foundation of tradition and whatever you want to call it. The end result will not be the same as if you go from the pattern every time. You have to go from the pattern, and it remains the same. But we need to understand the pattern. So a deep study of the Word of God and His Spirit. And another thing that happens, that the brothers in the church that aren't ordained, I don't know how to say this, but there is something that happens. There is, once you're ordained, there's an accountability that you feel that you didn't feel before. If that isn't like that, then something is wrong, I believe. And we will get to those scriptures later where it says, I think it's in Hebrews 13, where the part of the verse says, as they that must give account. And we'll get to those scriptures later in this message once we get to the main message. But that is something that we should always feel. We are accountable. And if the laity sees that also, then there's something that happens. And if you see that the leaders are accountable above what you are, there's something that happens in you too. If you recognize that, just think about that. So embrace this call, Jonas, with a willing heart. And I know you do. I'm not saying that these things because I doubt that you are. I know you are, but with a willing heart. And Pauline, this is correct. Is Pauline? There is something in this too. Our partners need to accept it also. I was once with an ordination where it was not the real Church of God, but the one ordained did not accept it. He stayed out in the barn when the ministers came to visit, didn't come in the house, didn't accept it. He finally did, but it never was a ministry. He couldn't preach. He didn't accept it. It's understandable. It was not a church with born-again people. But here, willing, even though there's this feeling, but rely on God. And I know you will. Rely on God. Embrace the call with a willing heart. And you're accepting this call, supporting Jonas. And I know you will. But that there's a lot in there. The success of this ministry will hinge a lot on that. Put your heart in. Support him in prayer. And I wanted to talk to the children. I don't know the girls' names, but your name is Joshua, right? Joshua, you're at the age where you understand more in depth what happened here, what will happen tonight. But the time will come still when maybe you will feel that Dad isn't maybe giving you enough attention or as much as you'd want. That time might come. But you know Dad's heart, and you know that Dad is not intentionally not giving you enough attention. Instead of focusing on that, you know Dad is doing all he can. Support him. Support him when he's in his office studying for a message. Because we need to study. We don't just wing it We need to study the Word of God. We need to spend time with God, spend time in prayer. So instead of moping, if there is such a thing, talk with your dad, but pray for him as he studies. The girls, pray for daddy as he studies in his office. Maybe you can take in a cup of coffee for dad, if he likes coffee. Write him a note. Write daddy a note when he's in his office sometimes. And tell him you're glad he's your daddy. Tell him you're glad he's your daddy. This makes a big difference. And Jonas, I just want to say this. Even though we are called to preach the Word of God, your family comes first. I've had controversy with that, but that's what I believe. I have talked to older ministers, people that I know you would be comfortable with. I don't know where you all are with that, but I've had confirmation with that. Your family comes first. And it all works out. I'd like to read some scriptures in 2 Timothy. Go with me there. 2 Timothy verse 1. 2 Timothy 1 verse 4. Greatly desiring to see thee, this is Paul talking to Timothy, being mindful of thy tears that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. Beautiful words that Paul gave to Timothy. So in 2 Timothy 2:1, thou therefore, Jonas, I just wanted to say this. Thou therefore, Jonas, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. It is so important that we as ministers of the word do it with joy. There are some scriptures that will come up later in that. Now, I was asked to preach on the laities. This is my words, not the way it was worded, but the churches or the laity, responsibility to the elders, to the leaders. This is a message that I've noticed over the years. I've been in a ministry for 22 years, and it's just something that the home ministry shies away from, preaching in the home congregation. Is the responsibility of the laity to the leaders. I think we need to be so open with each other. The love should flow so freely in a congregation that it can be done. But there is something to this that Jesus recognized himself, as we know. And as I was studying yesterday, there is something in this that always makes me emotional. I don't know really why, except God is calling us to a committedness to follow him regardless what. And when I was a boy, we had a Bible story books in our house. And I was a bookworm, and I read and read and read those books. It became tattered. But I remember those pictures, a lot of those pictures, they had a deep impression on me. So from the time Jesus was 12 years old until he was 30, 18 years. We don't read about Jesus, but we know he was working with his dad in the shop, making furniture maybe, 18 years. But there's a picture when the time came when he told his mom, I have to leave. There's a picture there with Jesus. There was a stone in front of the door of the shop or the house, I'm not sure. I haven't seen it for many years. And he stepped off that stone step, and he has his hand on the door, and he closed the door behind him. It's just something final about that picture that always hit me. He was on his way. He was on his way to the cross. That was the beginning of 3 years of ministry, miracles, but he was on his way to the cross. He went to the Jordan. He found John there, and he was baptized, and he went into the wilderness, and he fasted there for 40 days. The devil came to him. I'm just going through this a little bit. Leading up to, he came out of the wilderness back to Nazareth. And as he was used to doing, he got up to read. That's always impressed me. As he was used to doing, probably those 18 years, I don't know. But something happened there that day that wasn't the norm. What really happened? I don't know what happened. But he got up to read as he was used to doing. That is in Luke 4, verse 16. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. All he did was read. So they gave him what to read. There was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Now he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister and sat down. He hadn't said anything yet. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. Why were they? Something was different here. Something had changed. He had left, and he came back. He read like he was used to. And even before he said that these scriptures were fulfilled, their eyes were on him. He began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. And all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is not this Joseph's son? Isn't this Joseph's son? They knew it was, but they had this question. Something had changed. And he said unto them, ye will surely say unto me this proverb, physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country. And he said, verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. So there is something about that. But I believe that if a congregation, if God's love is flowing as God wants it to flow, then it can be done. But there's still something about that. Christ recognized it himself, that a prophet is not accepted in his own country. So the laity's responsibility to the elders. Jonas was not called or chosen because he is some superman. Not at all. Don't look at your elders as, or your leaders as some superman. But as brothers having a supersized responsibility. Don't expect your leaders to be perfect. They will make mistakes just like all the rest of you. We make mistakes. I would like to go to get some more scriptures here in 1 Thessalonians 5. Thought I had that marked. Quite a few verses I would like to read here. Let's start reading in 1. We'll just read 15 verses here. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light, and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep, as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night. They that be drunk, are drunken in the night. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also you do. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love, for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. That word over is in the Strong as 4291. It means in front of, to stand before, to preside, maintain, called to admonish, and are over you. We beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord. They are to stand before, to lead. It is really leading. It's a leader. Down, if you look at verse 25, it says, brethren, pray for us. That is something we dare not forget. If I forget to say it, we all know. Pray for your leaders. Always. But we'll have more of that later. Let's go back to verse 12. We beseech you, brethren, to know them. Paul is talking to the Thessalonian church. We beseech you, brethren, know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord. There's something here that we need to grasp, I think. Know them. That seems to put the emphasis on the church, the laity. It doesn't take the leader's responsibility away, but you take the initiative. Know them which labor among you. You need to take the initiative, maybe many times. Maybe there are, I just was thinking, meditating these days since Steve asked me to have this message. You know, many times maybe when I'm to preach in the morning, we have a greeting line before the church, still do. Maybe I seem distracted to the brothers. I don't know this. Nobody said this. But maybe I seem distracted. My thoughts are on my message. I'm communing with God, even then, because this is serious business to me. This is, God has to be in control behind this pulpit. So I have a burden for the truth. So when I think about this, do I seem distracted? And then maybe a brother, it's not happened, but I'm just creating a scenario. And maybe a brother feels like Steve just hasn't, it seems like he doesn't talk to me very much. I wonder if he really likes me, or does he have something against me, or we can go down these paths, but you take the initiative. Know them. Maybe there's even something that's preached from the elders, the leaders, across this pulpit that maybe you have a question about. Maybe you don't agree. But don't go to another brother and start this subtle discord in the church. Go directly to whoever it is. Go directly to Steve. Know them. Know his heart. It's happened in my life where I heard things. It came through the grapevine, so to speak, not so long ago. Just a couple months ago, I heard something that came through children to our children. Wow. I just went to that brother. What is going on? And we talked about these things and cleared it up. See, so it's very important that had he come directly to me instead of through, then it comes to the children, and it's not the way it should be. Just, it should be open. And I know that I am not, because of my makeup, I'm black and white. So some of your elders, and even in the laity, were black and white. So somehow that has an effect on how easy I am, how approachable I am. It has an effect. I want to be approachable. I want to do all I can so the brothers are comfortable with approaching me. But it has an effect. Because I tend to be strong. I'm black and white. So those things I need to work on. But do it anyway. Know them that labor among you. Know them. Take the initiative. Right? Invite them over for lunch. Do whatever it takes. Take the initiative. I think know them is putting something back onto the laity. And love thrives. Take the initiative. Maybe after a message. This happened to me this summer. where after a message, we're out in the fellowship hall, lunch is over, and one of the brothers came up behind me. I was still sitting at the table, and he started rubbing my shoulders. I didn't even know who it was until I looked around. And he had just expressed an appreciation for the message and something I had said in the message. Do those things for your leaders. It's a beautiful thing. Walk up behind your leaders, your elders. Rub their shoulders down. Share appreciation. Express it. In verse 13 it says, to esteem them very highly in love for their works' sake. Not because of who they are. You don't want to flatter your leaders. I don't want to be flattered. Not in that way, but esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. In love, esteem them. And there's something that I made a note further back in my notes, and I can't exactly say because I want this to be clear, so I have to leave this, but I'm pretty sure I'm coming back to that word esteem. In fact, I know I am, and it's very interesting. That's the beauty of studying. I just really like to study words. And amazing what God reveals sometime. So then you search things out, and we'll come to that. On Saturday, as you go about your work, think about your elders, your leaders, the ones that are studying for that message on Sunday morning. And I know you share messages also. And at one time at home, I had, this was before we had deacons, and I was somewhat the deacon in a sense. But I would tell the congregation who was to preach the next Sunday. And the congregation really liked it, but just last, I think it was 2 weeks ago, one of the brothers came to me. He said, whatever happened to that? It's been some years. It's been 4 or 5 years since we did that. And he said, whatever happened to that? He said, I missed that. When you're out working Saturday, you think about your brothers. I believe it's even a good idea for you to find out who it is. Specific prayers. It works for us to pray for whoever is having the message. But I think it just brings it more personal if you know who it is. Find out who it is and pray for that person. There's somebody in his office, in his study that day, in the Word, praying, studying the Word for a message on Sunday. Do that for your elders. And I know you do. That's the thing. I'm not saying these things because I think you don't. But this is a responsibility for the laity. We don't preach a message that you need to be born again to enter heaven because you're not born again. It's still God's Word. We need to So pray for your elders who are studying. They are studying to rightly dividing the word of truth. When I made that note, I thought it was a week after we were ordained to the ministry. We were in South Dakota, and an old order bishop handed me a piece of paper. I never forgot that. And it was that scripture. And I didn't even look it up. About rightly dividing the word of truth. He handed me that verse. I still have that at home in my file. Those are beautiful things. Tremendous blessings will flow. When your elders preach, pay attention. This is, you know, when because of who I am, I try not to, I don't focus on the crowd too much. But it still affects me when I see a brother sleeping. It does affect me. So pay attention to your sit up, and you know, if there's something, there's a connection here that helps the message. It helps God. It helps the brother. It's helping God in a sense. And when you're nodding your head, make sure your eyes are open. I remember when Mark Miller was there one time having messages. He told us, if I see you sleeping, I'm going to call your name. That's what he told us. Did my name get... did he say my name that one time? I know one of the other brothers, but I think he did mine too. He thought I was, but I wasn't. But that's okay also. But pay attention to your ministers. It really helps the message. I appreciate amens too, sometimes. I once heard someone say that every message is preached three times. It's preached when you're studying, and this is so much me. You know, you think about how you're going to preach it. That's the first one. And then it's preached the way it's preached. Then afterwards, the next week, it's preached on how it should have been preached. And it really is that way. You think about what you said, and sometimes, oh, shouldn't have said that, or should have said it this way. So don't stop praying for your elders just because Sunday's passed. I don't experience this as much as I know some of the brothers in our church, some of our elders, brother elders, experience this fairly strongly, where the week after a message, they're bombarded. I don't know what the difference is. I think it's our makeup, who we really are, if we're... So don't stop praying just because it's Monday. Your elders maybe are experiencing things that the burden they shared... The devil is out there, and he'll do all he can. We can be victorious, but God wants his people to pray. So don't stop praying that following week for your elders, because they might be going through some things. And remember to pray for their families. Just recently, in the last 6 months, I brought this up in our congregation because we try to, every time before the main message in church, we sometimes forget, but very seldom, but we pray for, we have brothers in Turkey helping with a mission there, and then we have the church in Ecuador. And we have a brother in Mexico. And today, Sam and Susie and their son Timothy and my brother Melvin and his wife are in Mexico today. We're looking to start a church there. And Brother Melvin has committed with his family to go there for a year with Sam's. And so we pray for these brothers and before the main message. But I brought this up that I have a burden that we're forgetting our home congregation. Let's not do that. Pray for our sisters. Pray for our mothers. You know, we pray for these outreaches, and we need those outreaches. But there's a mission here at home that is just as important. And so maybe the sisters, this has happened, Maybe the sister starts struggling, and this is a mother with six children, that she's not doing enough. For the kingdom. What causes that? I just think that we can cause that maybe by, we're just not open enough here at home. Tremendous mission. What is a greater calling than a mother at home? Tremendous calling. That God's heart is so involved with the mothers. We need to pray for our mothers. Pray for the families at home. Don't forget that. Pray for our mothers. Pray for the ministers' families. Pray for their children. And also all for each other. Let's go to Hebrews 13. Very familiar scriptures also. In Hebrews 13:17, it says, "Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you." It can be largely, you have a huge influence in the joy or the lack of joy that your leaders have in leading you. So many times when you give a listening ear to someone that is disgruntled at the leadership or the church, you give them a listening ear and maybe they say that they're just not good shepherds. It doesn't take long, most times, to discern that this person is not a good sheep. We need to be willing to be sheep also. Sheep. I trust, I know, that your leaders are about leading you into all holiness in the Lord. They're not. They don't have a stick beating you about. They want to lead you into through a life of holiness in God. Trust that. See, the word rule in Hebrews 13:17, and the word esteem in 1 Thessalonians 5:13 have the same Greek definition. 2233 in Strong's. Now, how can we bring that together? The word rule and the word esteem. And I prayed about this. What is it? How can we bring that together? And I think this is how it is. Studied the words. I went as far back as I could. Because some of those definitions are from. So you keep studying these words. What is God saying? The word rule in Hebrews 13:17, obey them that have the rule over you. That rule is, it's just a leader. They that lead, or it's a leader. So, and it says in 1 Thessalonians 5, esteem them. Sorry, I didn't have that mark before. I 5:13, and to esteem them very highly for their works' sake. So they have the same Greek definition, the same meaning. Esteem them. This is just my thought. I searched it all out as far as I could go. Esteem them. Now, if you're esteeming as a laity, if you're esteeming your leaders highly for their work's sake, you're leading your children. The difference, I have seen families where for years and years, there was just never anything right. This was back before when we were still in the older Amish church. It seemed like it was always wrong what the ministers did. Talk and talk about the ministers. This is terrible. This is devastating. What does that do to those children? Watched it unfold. The time comes. Why should we be with a church like this? So the lack of esteeming, you're also leading your children. It's death. So if you esteem them highly in love for their work's sake, not because of who Steve is or Sally is or John and Martin and Jerry. They're called to be leaders. If you esteem them highly for their work's sake, their call of God to lead this congregation at Allen County Christian Fellowship, if you esteem them very highly for their work's sake, the thing that happens with your family, your children will also esteem them. It's maybe not always. Children can become rebellious. But the other direction is not the ways of God. And if there is something that you struggle with, don't degrade the brothers in front of the children. Go to the brother. Find out. Know them. It's back to know them that have the rule over you. And 2:2:3:3, which is esteem and rule, is to lead, command, to deem, consider, suppose, think. Pretty deep, I realize, but esteeming has the same definition. Esteem them highly for your works, for their work's sake. For your own peace of mind, as a laity, remember that your ministers, your elders, did not write these verses. I know you know that. But when it says, obey them that have the rule over you, esteem them highly for their work's sake. They didn't write these words. God did. So there's a beautiful thing that can happen. And it says, be at peace among yourselves. Be at peace. God's love is so important. God's love has to reign. We have to be knit together in love. God's love. And in closing, I would like to go to Colossians. Colossians 2. And beautiful words in Colossians 1 also. It just so beautiful. And I don't have that. I wasn't going to say this, but These things are highlighted in my Bible because years ago, Colossians 1, just beautiful words. This all has to do with how we see how thankful we are for our salvation. The love we have for God is really hinges on how grateful we are for what He did for us. And it has to do with how we love our brothers, or the lack of this gratitude for our salvation, how we see God and the tremendous sacrifice He made and what He has supplied for His believers, for His children, the grace of God for us to live a victorious life, giving thanks unto the Father who hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, and hath delivered us from the power of darkness, hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. I was quoting those verses in German before I knew what I was saying. When we had church as children, I would be the preacher. And I would quote those verses because I heard them every Sunday, basically. I could quote it, but I didn't know what I was saying. Those verses are beautiful. Give God thanks. They're in Colossians 1, 12. That we are delivered from the power of darkness. Are we? Yes, we are. Delivered from the devil's power. Translated into the kingdom of Jesus Christ, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. What I was getting to is Colossians 2, 2. I want to close with this. For I would that you knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea. I think that's spelled pronounced wrong, but that's okay. And for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and the Father and of Christ. And when I, because I'm a woodworker, have been all my life, basically, not a woodworker like some of you maybe in a shop, but I have my own shop. So I've done a fair amount of woodworking. When I think of being knit together, some of you sisters, my wife does knitting, but so that's a beautiful thing when something is knit together. It's all one piece, but it's knit together where it actually hot pads and all kinds of things. It is something. When it's knit together, it becomes something useful. But when I think of something that's knit together in love, I think of the glue. We know love is in the world. We've built houses over the years where the couple is not born again. They're not born again believers, but they have love for one another. We have couples that have been together ever since high school, and it's been 40 years ago. So there's a love in the world that is not like the love of God. The love of God is way, way stronger than a love like that. The love of God is stronger than any conflict, any issues we face, any disagreements we have, the love of God is stronger than that. And if you take a piece of wood, I've done this many times, you take a piece of wood, let's say it's just a 3/4 thick, and you glue it together, you break it apart, the glue is stronger than the natural wood. It breaks the natural wood, not the glue joint. So the love of God is stronger than the natural love that we have for each other. If we have the love of God, there's a bond that is. And if we don't have it, so if things happen where churches go apart. I realize, according to the scriptures, this has to happen. When the foundation is not correct, I realize that that has to happen. There has to be a separation from God's people. We need to walk in truth. But when these things start, just because of ill feelings and things like that, let's look at ourselves and recognize what is going on and apply the love of God. A bond that is stronger than the love the world has. The love of God, the love of God's people, have for each other is stronger than that. Natural wood glued together is strongest at the glue joint. So when you glue something together, it's interesting to me that if it's tight enough, I can see these joints, but I've made radius crown for some years already in different things, but this piece has 14. This was quite a few years ago when I just cut it off the end of one of my pieces that I had made and made a pencil holder for my office. But there's 14 pieces on here glued together, and it's knit. That's what I think about when knit together in love. These pieces are so completely glued together that they become one. So the church should be, I believe, one in the Lord, esteeming each other. Not just esteeming the leaders, the elders, for their work's sake, but esteeming each other greater than ourselves. That we esteem our brothers greater than ourselves. Let the love of God flow, knit together in love. God bless you as you continue.